Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that is before us on this first Sunday of the new year is Isaiah 61, the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the Lord's year of grace and our God's day of vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Dear fellow, redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, this is the first Sunday of the new church year. The old has passed and the new is before us. We are starting over, we are looking ahead. There are going to be some things in the new church year that will remain the same for us, but there will also be some changes in our lives, some of them perhaps dramatic. So perhaps we're also saying in our own hearts and minds as we start out on a new year with the hymn writer, change and decay and all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. But how can we expect the Lord to abide with us if he has not been with us in the past year? Increasingly, in our world of change and decay, we are hearing that religions evolve from the mind of man. As man searches for God, he comes up with religions. And so the intellectuals think that the Christian faith has evolved over thousands of years. As man searched for God, and because of man's desire for God, he invented God. And he invented over the years all the teachings of the Christian faith. This is surely true of the many false religions of the world. But we are wise enough to know that we have not invented our Lord and God. He didn't come out of our minds. He never could have. He doesn't fit. We may not be intellectuals by the world's standards, but we have been made wise unto salvation by the Holy Scriptures, which were given to us. And so we know, without doubt, that the Lord who has been with us will gladly come with his grace in the new year. After all, it's his gospel to proclaim. It doesn't belong to anyone else. These verses of Isaiah, from our text, were fulfilled in the person work of Christ. In Matthew 3, we're told that Jesus was received or anointed at his baptism by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't too long after that beginning of his ministry, he now becomes a full-fledged Jewish rabbi or teacher. And he comes to Nazareth, to his hometown, and he goes into the synagogue as he often did. And he stood up to read the scriptures. And he was handed a book. Jesus didn't choose some verses from the law of Moses. Instead, he chose this very glad gospel from Isaiah. And he read it. And when he read these words of our text, he closed the book, handed it to the attendant, and sat down, and all the eyes of the people around in the synagogue were fixed on him. And when they were all paying attention to him, he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, those who saw and heard him say these words were astounded, to say the least, because with their eyes they saw the son of Joseph, a little boy from their tired little city of Nazareth, had grown up among them. That's what their eyes saw, but what their ears heard was something else. What their ears heard was Jesus saying that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him, because the Lord had appointed him to proclaim good tidings. The good tidings or news that he proclaims is his gospel, because he himself is the eternal Word. And more than that, he had been anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and the Lord his Father in heaven had appointed him to proclaim this gospel. Notice, Isaiah refers in the first verse to all three persons of the Trinity. They are all complicit in this proclamation of his gospel. There are many preachers who come on their own. They claim to have their own anointing and appointing, even from God. But then they come and they preach their own words, and they lay even more burdens on sinful consciences because of their emphasis on the law. The words of Jesus were his own. Jesus does not say through Isaiah that he comes to reestablish some earthly kingdom like the kingdom of David or any political kingdom. Instead, Isaiah says that he comes to preach and to proclaim and to comfort. Jesus comes to be a preacher. Sounds like what he told Pilate. He came to bear witness to the truth, to preach, to comfort, to proclaim. Not only then did he give himself into death for our sins, but he, as Isaiah says, also came to comfort and to preach and to proclaim. So what's the nature of the gospel that he brings? Well, Isaiah tells us, very briefly, he preached good tidings to those who are poor in spirit, of course. He bandaged broken-hearted sinners with his message of forgiveness. He relieved the burden of the guilty conscience. He proclaimed spiritual liberty to sinners bound in the dungeon of their own desperate sin, their depravity and their death, and he releases them from prison. These are the things that Jesus preaches. This is the essence of his good news. And everyone needs this gospel that he proclaims. Our lives are often filled with misery and trouble, aren't they? Our loved ones are taken from us through death. And sometimes those who love us desert us. We fall to sins like greed and jealousy and pride and anger and hatred. We suffer from the bitterness of a spouse or the harsh criticism of others. And at the end of human life, what comes? Death. But our Lord Jesus doesn't want any of us to be left to all that. And so he comes to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the Lord's year of grace, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now the words that are translated in New King James, the acceptable year of the Lord, better translated, the Lord's year of grace, that comes from the Old Testament law of the Jubilee. In the Jubilee year declared by the law as God set it forth, debt was forgiven. Property that had been sold was returned. Those who were in debtor's prison because they owed someone were released. So too, in the coming year of the church, our faithful God promises a new year of gospel grace in terms of forgiveness and peace, freedom, restoration in him. The Lord's grace extends for a year. Notice his vengeance for a day. It's interesting. We got to make that distinction. The text says that his year of grace goes on, but his vengeance for a day. In other words, clearly, the Lord wants to be known more for his gracious favor than for his vengeance. That's why the next line says, to comfort those who mourn. But because the emphasis in our Lord's message and his heart is on saving and comforting, does not mean that there will not be judgment and vengeance for those who despise the gospel that he brings, to bring us that comfort and that peace and that life. Woe to those who refuse to despise, who refuse the grace of God and despise his gospel. And so we will want to receive his grace and spiritual gifts in the new year, because they lie in this message that we will hear preached, because Jesus still is proclaiming the glad message of grace, even to this day. The gifts are his to exchange. The effect of his message in all who receive it by humble faith is given in the first part of verse 3. You read those words and you think, it really gives us a lot of joy at Christmas, doesn't it? If we can give to someone a new shirt, a new pair of pants, especially our children, to replace the old, the worn, it gives us special joy. It gives us even more joy if we can bring happiness to those who are sorrowing, if we can give hope to those who are despairing. But Jesus comes in the new year to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Those who mourn in Zion are his believing disciples, his children. These are the ones who truly feel oppressed by the burden of sin, and they are sorry for their sins, and their sins trouble them, not occasionally, but often, daily. They are oppressed by those sins, but Jesus comes to make a wonderful exchange. For the ashes of our mourning and sin, he gives us beauty. With the anointing of his joy and our heavy spirits, with a garment of praise. Our Lord knows when our own hearts and our lives are overflowing with tears. He knows the grief. He knows the sorrow over sin. And he comes with his gifts to change our colorless lives into colorful lives, and to make our sad lives into happy lives. He's glad to do this. That's why he came. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes it. Jesus promises to work through his gospel in our hearts in the coming year, so that we may have comfort and joy and peace and hope and all these wonderful spiritual gifts that come alone through the gospel. But let us come to hear the good news that Jesus gladly proclaims in this new year. As Luther says, only those who are sick need a doctor. Only the sheep that is lost is looked for. Only the captive is freed. Only the poor man is made rich. Only the weak is made strong. Only the humble may be lifted up. Only those who are empty may be filled. Years ago, I knew a man who was not interested in coming to Bible class. He had a little trouble in church. And I had to say to him one day, if you come to church with a full basket, Jesus can't do anything more for you. Let us come this year, in the new year of grace, with baskets empty, sorrowing over our sins, humbly begging for the Lord to fill us with his grace and his joy and his comfort and his hope. And he will. He'll be glad to do it. Let us say to God in the new year, as Luther did, how gladly are we to be empty so that you may fill us. Gladly am I weak that your strength may dwell in me. Gladly am I foolish so that you may be my wisdom. Gladly am I unrighteous so that you may be my righteousness. Now finally, why is the gospel Christ to proclaim in the new year? Why is he so glad to proclaim it? Well, the gifts are his to exchange too. Well, the answer Isaiah gives is that they, the Lord's believing people, may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Someone asked me just last week, why do we continue to live out our lives as Christians? Why doesn't the Lord just after our baptism or coming to faith pluck us up and take us to heaven? Why do we continue to live? Peter gives the answer. Because we have been chosen to be God's holy people, his own special people, to show forth his praises, because he called us out of darkness into light. Do we plant a sapling oak tree and then pull it up by its roots before it has a chance to share its acorns with the animals and the wonderful colors of fall, the oranges and the yellows with mankind? Why do we plant in the first place if we're going to pluck it up right away? So also our Lord leaves most of his spiritual plantings on earth to grow up in him. He wants them to become strong and beautiful trees of righteousness, not little scrubby bushes, but like mighty oaks that show the strength and beauty of his love for them in their humble faith and loving service toward others. Some of us are little seedlings, and others of us are saplings, and a few of us are strong oaks. But our Lord comes gladly with his grace in the new year for this reason. Not defining which of these we are, that's not the issue. The issue is he wants to gladly proclaim his grace because he's already made us his planting. We are his. He desires to make us stronger and more fruitful and more beautiful trees by the power of his gospel. He's glad to do it. That's his work. And if the azalea and the crepe myrtle and the mighty oak bring glory to their creator, the longer they sit in his soil and receive his sun and his rain, how much more will we bring glory to our God who sit in the soil of his word, who bask in the light of his sun and the life that his water brings. May our Lord Jesus make it happen through the glad gospel according to the promise that's right here in the text. For this will be a year of grace, as has been the past. For his is the power, and his is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.